So I just want to start out, I have no financial relationships to disclose, so get that out of the way really quickly here. And what I'm going to be talking about today are some of the different social media tools that are available and how we're using them specifically at CDC for public health communication efforts. And then share some examples with you all on how we're using the different tools to engage with our priority audiences through social media. I'm going to discuss a little bit briefly on how we evaluate some of our social media efforts, and then just end with a couple of lessons learned. So briefly, some of the tools that are available, there's a whole wide range of tools. These are some of the primary tools that CDC is using, from the very popular Facebook and Twitter, as well as we have a variety of different blogs that we're using to put a little bit more of a personal face on that. Some of you may have heard about the zombie blog that came out, the zombie apocalypse blog that came out in May. That was a very popular effort that started with a blog post at CDC. We're also using Flickr to share public health images that are available to the public. We're using a lot of podcasts and RSS feeds. We have a channel on YouTube, and then we're using things like widgets and mobile devices to make our content portable. As public health communicators, we feel that social media can really help us to complement what we're doing in our traditional communication channels, as well as share our information in new spaces and engage with new audiences. We're also finding that social media is very, it's obviously social, so it's really facilitating people, allowing people to interact and engage with our content. And ultimately what we're trying to do at CDC is to empower people to make safer and healthier decisions. This is our digital media strategy, and this is just one example of how a strategy can be put together. It's really based around the close integration of our web, mobile, and social media activities. We kind of think of a website as our hub and is the primary source for a lot of our content that we feed out into the social media and mobile spaces, and then kind of the different spokes around the wheel. So all of our different social and mobile media properties are where we're going out and we're creating conversations around our health topics. We're building communities in some of the different channels, and then we're really just trying to engage with our fans and our followers and our subscribers in that different page. And this is our model. Your social media model could be built around, the hub could be a blog or a Facebook page. This is just, we have a very strong web presence, so we use that web presence as the hub for our social media channels. I'm going to shift a little bit and talk about some of the specific channels that we have available, just a kind of high-level overview. Because of where my office sits, we manage all of the agency-wide profiles, so our main CDC Facebook page, which was launched back in May 2009, and I think as of last night, we're approaching 163,000 fans. We've seen over 125% growth just this year in our number of fans on our Facebook page, and we're using this page. We're posting about 3 to 5 times per day, a little bit more, a little bit less, depending on what's on the content schedule for the week. But we're using it really as the main face of our CDC presence on Facebook and using it to support our agency-wide initiatives and really build a community around people who are interested in what CDC is doing in public health. So we're highlighting really the whole breadth of what the agency is doing, and we're also creating linkages to the other social or CDC Facebook pages that are available there. In addition to this Facebook page, we have a Spanish sister page that is managed by our group as well, that posts a little bit. Oh. Yeah, it's working. Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Skipping ahead here. Too far. Okay. So we have, in addition to this English language social Facebook page that my team manages, we also have a Spanish language kind of complimentary page that posts similar content. We also, at the agency, have 10 other Facebook pages, so we're really trying to create on this page the linkages between the other CDC Facebook pages so that people know that they're out there and we're sharing their content as well. We post a lot of daily content that's driven from our website back onto our Facebook page, and I'll share an example of that in a few minutes. In addition to our Facebook page, we also have a CDC.gov Twitter profile. This is the main agency profile, and it was launched last spring. We've seen actually over 300% growth in this channel just this year. So we've seen, we started off a little bit smaller, and we've seen we're approaching 51,000 fans on that profile as well. We post a little bit more frequently on this channel. We post 4 to 6 times per day, sometimes upwards of 12 to 15 times per day, depending on what's going on that day. On our Twitter profile, we are almost always directing traffic back to our website. Obviously, with the space constraints of Twitter, you only have 140 characters to get your message across. So we're almost always pointing back to our website for more information. I'm trying to really cull down the message so that we have the key call to action message in the tweet, but pointing them back to the website for more information. In addition, we also have a Spanish language complement to this page as well, and there are about 31 other Twitter profiles at CDC. So we have a very, very robust presence on Twitter. And again, we're using this profile to really cultivate that content and share other CDC profile content on this profile. CDC also has a pretty active page on YouTube. This is one of our older channels. This actually predates me at CDC. It was launched in April of 2007. As of right now, we have about 225 videos up there. We have 12 different topic-based playlists. This channel, we also have a Spanish language playlist on our channel, so we have videos available in both English and Spanish. As of last week, we had 4.2 million views of our collective videos. I will say that about half of those are from one video. It was an H1N1 video that was posted right at the beginning of the outbreak, and it was just a CDC subject matter expert talking about the symptoms of H1N1, and that was our most popular video and continues to be our most popular video on our YouTube channel. In addition to using things like Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, we're also moving into the mobile space. That's where a lot of things are going. We have a text messaging service that was launched in September 2009. You'll notice a lot of stuff was launched in 2009. We stood up a lot of social media around H1N1, so that's why a lot of these things came up. Our Spanish channels came up around flu as well, so we launched a lot of stuff in response to that because people were just really hungry for information and they were wanting that information out in those spaces. So this we have a little bit. We've got about, I think this is a little high actually. We have about 12,000 subscribers on it, and we send I think we're averaging about 2 text messages per week right now. We send them on a variety of different health and safety topics. So, and the text messages that go out are often tied to some of the health and safety content that's featured on our website. But instead of pointing to our website directly, we point to the mobile version of our website. We have a m.cdc.gov, which is optimized to kind of tell what kind of phone you're coming into it with. So if you're on a smartphone, you're going to be rendered a different experience than if you're coming into it on a 12-key feature phone. So it really just strips out a lot of the navigation, a lot of the linking back and forth. So it's a very clean mobile site. So we're linking to that on our from a lot of our text messages when we're providing links. We also use that to provide information on our national call center, CDC Info. So we're pushing out the 1-800 CDC Info number in our text messages as well. I wanted to shift gears again a little bit to talk, just to share some examples about how we're using some of the different social media channels. So I mentioned that, we're hubbed around our website, and every week there's a rotating consumer-based feature article, a series of rotating consumer-based feature articles on our website that are on a variety of different health topics. So if there's a health observance going on that day, or it's an observance month, if there's a new study coming out. So this example here is from a new study that was released about the 4 specific behaviors that impact chronic disease. And so we were able to share that content in both our Facebook and our Twitter profiles, tailoring the content a little bit differently for each of the different channels. And over the course of the year, there's anywhere from, so far this year, there have been about 250 features that have been posted up on our website. So we're, for the most part, sharing all of those features. There's a few that some of the programs don't really want us to share. We get a lot of heated debate around topics like autism and vaccines and that kind of stuff. So sometimes they ask us not to share that on our Facebook page. But a lot of times, if they keep it back from the Facebook page, they may say that it's okay to do on our Twitter profile. So we're, and these posts are actually pretty popular. The Facebook post on the left has actually been our most clicked through post on our Facebook page this year. We generated about 1,000 referral traffic back to our website, and that's pretty high for our Facebook page. So that so far is sitting in the number one spot this year from on our Facebook page. In addition to kind of the day-to-day posting of what we're doing on Facebook, we're also really trying to leverage around relevant, timely events. So those of you that saw the movie Contagion, we really tried to, or went to the session last night that talked about Contagion, and we really tried to, as an agency, leverage what they were talking about and showcase the work that CDC was doing in real life, and that was portrayed in the movie. So we developed a plan to send out a lot of Facebook posts and Twitter messages. There were a whole series of video blogs that were just short, I think 30 to 60 second clips about some of our real life disease detectives who are out in the field, and our EIS officers who are out in the field, about what it's really like to work out on an outbreak. So we were able to share those on our Facebook and Twitter profiles as well. There were a couple of different blog posts that came out. Dr. Khan, who was the author of the zombie apocalypse blog, actually posted a blog about, you know, what it's really like to be out in a disease outbreak investigation. So we were able to share that on our Facebook and Twitter profiles as well. And then my team actually hosted a series of 3-hour-long Twitter chats that were on a variety of different topics from that kind of pulled from the movie. So the first was with, and the image you show that you'll see here is our first one that we did. The movie was released on September 9th, so we hosted it a week later, and it was with Dr. Jenny McQuiston, who has been at CDC for about 13 years, and she's been out in the field investigating all kinds of different disease outbreaks. So she was able to sit on our Twitter profile for an hour and talk about what it's really like to be out in the field investigating disease outbreaks. Our second Twitter chat was with 4 of our EIS officers. So Kate Winslet's character in the movie is an EIS officer. So they were able to sit and talk about what it was really like in real time to be an EIS officer at CDC. We had a couple of first years, so they were all sharing their experiences about being a new EIS officer, and that was a really fun chat. And then the third chat was with our branch chief of our quarantine and border health services group, and they, because the movie touched on issues around quarantine, we were able to have her talking about some of, you know, what CDC really, you know, what their authority is with quarantine, and what, you know, what we, if we would really quarantine an entire city like they do in the movie. So not to spoil anyone if you haven't seen it, but we saw some great traffic over the course of the three Twitter chats. We saw about 1,200 tweets that were generated across all three. We had 350 unique participants, so we were really happy about that. Oh, I'm running really low. Okay, I'm going to skip through this. So we hosted the Twitter chats, and that was very popular, and we used social media monitoring to go kind of watch who was around the conversations. I also work very closely with the seasonal flu group to talk every year to work with them on integrating social media into their communications campaign around flu vaccination every year. And so this is an example of a very comprehensive social media campaign where we're extensively promoting vaccination messages in both English and Spanish on a lot of our different channels. We created some different interactive tools where people could take a pledge that said that they were going to go get their flu vaccine and then share that with their Facebook and Twitter fans. We created a Flu IQ Facebook application that people could take a series, I think it was 10 kind of true or false questions around different about the disease and the vaccine, and then share their score and challenge their friends to take it. So that was just an example of a little bit more comprehensive campaign. I'm going to kind of breeze through this stuff really quickly because I'm running low on time. But I think the really key thing with any social media effort is to integrate it into what you're already doing with your overall communications efforts and think about your audience and their information needs and where they are. If you're trying to get information out to a particular audience in a social media channel who's not in that channel, it's not going to work. So I think that's really important. Talking about evaluation, there are tons and tons and tons of metrics that you can get from social media. We look at web traffic back to our website based on our strategy of kind of that being the hub. We look at reach and engagement on our social media channels, and then we're looking at things like audience sentiment and user satisfaction and changes in knowledge and behavior through some of the different surveys. Just briefly, these are a couple of the different tools that we use. So there's a ton of tools that are available. Facebook and YouTube have great administrator insight dashboards for their pages. So Twitter, I think, has released it, but it's not very widely available yet. We use a lot of social media monitoring tools to keep track of the conversation on social media around our topics. Site Catalyst to track website clicks back to our website. And then we also do a lot of user surveys on our profiles as well to kind of capture that audience satisfaction and changes in knowledge and attitudes towards our different topics. And then I think I'm about out of time. So I will let you all read these yourself. I think one of the, I'm going to point out too, be strategic about your social media and be patient because it does take time. Yeah, we're not going to get to 160,000 fans in one day. I went backwards. Okay. I'm going backwards. Get to the end here. All right. And that's my contact information.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jessica. That was very interesting.